75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
And this is the UFO Files, and guess what? We're broadcasting from the Holiday Inn in Elk City, Oklahoma, which is out in western Oklahoma. After you pass Oklahoma City, you go for miles and miles, and you see nothing but miles and miles. Jim Hickman, of course, used to be on our show every Friday night, and he lives in Elk City. And Jim, we've got a few other people here, too. We'll talk to in a minute, but I want to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Jerry. And yeah, we're glad to be out here in beautiful Elk City, the town that's known for absolutely nothing. Yeah. I guess except for Area 51 V, as we call it, the home of Oklahoma's UFO capital, I guess.
You know, the last time we were here, we were visiting with Fred Morton Scott, who we're going to talk to before the show's over. And we were talking about, yeah, we'd like to see a UFO, and sure enough, you had a report the next week at about the time we were inside the Holiday Inn eating that a UFO flew out west of town. Now, there seemed to be a lot of activity west of here.
I think they like west of town over by Merritt and down by Willow. Just that night after you went to bed that night, they had a reporting down by Willow, and they sent me in a photo of the object, and I have no idea what it was. It was a very strange photo, but we don't know exactly what it was. We still can't figure it out.
You still don't know, huh?
Still unknown.
Well, I think you'll probably get to the bottom of it before it's over, Jim. Now, I want to talk about this book in a minute because it's right down my alley, as I told you in Roswell the last time we were in. Everybody talks about these feel-good things, and they talk about, you know, a little bit of this and that and from another world and dimension. But I think there might be some evil here, and you've chronicled that, I think, in this book.
Yeah, we did. The new book's called The Alien Menace, and we've chronicled over 100 reported cases of injuries, illness, and death directly attributable to our alien friends.
And what is the name of the book? As long as we started talking about it, let's give a good plug for it here. By the way, folks, we do have a link on our website where you can get the book by ordering it. And in addition to that, we also have a link to Jim's websites. And for our radio listeners, we need to give all of those URLs before the night is over. Mm-hmm. Give people a chance to grab their pen and pencil and paper and pull off the road, hopefully.
Or if they're flying in their saucers, be sure and land it before you do anything. But the new book is titled The Alien Menace, and it's published by Publish America. And it's available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, even your Walmart stores stock it. And you can get it from my website also. The website is skywatch-international.org. And we'll repeat that later in the show.
And tell me a little bit about the Alien Menace, and I guess really even before I give you an opportunity to talk about that, I'm going to have a meeting with Bill Hamilton, who used to be a Skywatch, and Linda Moulton Howe on Saturday in Las Vegas, and the reason I bring that up is not to be name-dropping, but they will be on shows coming up. But the fact is that Linda was the first one that I know that got into the cattle mutilation things up in Colorado. And your vice president of Skywatch, George Filer, in the Filer Files last week, had a report of a cattle mutilation in Colorado. And you're telling me something happened right here by Elk City.
Oh, yeah. Cattle mutes are very, very common, Jerry. We've had over 10,000 reported cases since the 70s. And we had one just here south of town about 2 weeks ago. I found out about it right here in the Holiday Inn where we're talking now. I was giving a speech here at the room just right over there, as a matter of fact, and a gentleman came up to me after the talk and told me about this cattle mutilation. And they didn't have any idea that it was involved aliens or anything. They thought it had something to do with Satanism. And
a lot of times that is confused. In fact, Linda Moulton Howell, in that first investigation she did, we had a very interesting program which she went when she was a reporter at a station in Denver at the time, television station, And she was, you know, just doing a story about it, and all of a sudden the deputy sheriff, no, it was the sheriff of this little county, she asked him what was going on, and he said, I think it's extraterrestrial, and I think they're like vampires, they're taking the blood.
Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing about these cases, there's never any blood. And, you know, the funny thing is people, humans, have a gallon of blood or more in their body, and cattle can have gallons of blood in their body. And we don't see a single drop of these at any of these reported instances. And, you know, these cattle mutes are all over the western United States. And Linda Howell, you mentioned her. We just finished a series for the History Channel. They'll be out sometime either in late November or early December.
You did that up at Stillwater?
Yeah.
There's some stuff happening up there?
No, actually, we took
a... happened to be where the cameraman was? Come on, Jim, tell me the story.
Well, it's not quite that simple. Stillwater has the OSU's Animal Disease Laboratory, and we went up there and interviewed some of the specialists, the animal pathologists, to have them look at some of our evidence and to tell us exactly what we're seeing. And I was up there to kind of provide a little bit of historical background to these cattle mutilations. People think that this all started back in the 60s and 70s with in Colorado, like with Linda's case. But we now know that these were happening back in the 1890s. And I could relate that story to for you if you'd like. Yeah, this happened back in 1897 in April. Gentleman was a state representative. His name was Alexander Hamilton. This is in Kansas. I believe it in Yates Center, Kansas.
And this is not the Alexander Hamilton, but a state representative in Kansas.
Yes.
And you say 1897?
1897.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We're going to be talking to Jim Mars when we get to Las Vegas, and he has this sighting that was down in Texas in 1898. So mm-hmm. Things were happening back then.
Oh, it was a very hot period. I'm sure you'll talk to Jim. He works for us as an investigator in Skywatch, and he's investigated the case down there in Aurora, Texas. That's probably the one you're talking about.
Yeah, we've done some shows about that. We're actually going to be talking to Jim about the JFK assassination since that's coming up. But he's out at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference and be talking about the Aurora incident. But tell us about this one that you started on before I rudely interrupted you.
Oh, it's okay, Jerry. These people will be able, folks that are listening will be able to see the entire reenactment of this incident from 1897 up in Kansas. This gentleman was woken up in the middle of the night, and his son and his hired hand, they walked outside of their farmhouse and saw a object hovering above their farm, 300 feet long, bright red in color, and it had a rope descending down from it around the neck of one of the prized cows. And it proceeded to pull the cow up into this craft and take off. And the next day they found the cow about 5 miles away, completely mutilated, and they were able to identify it only by the brand on its hide.
Well, that must have been scary as hell for them because there weren't airplanes back in 1897. I mean, what did he think?
Well, you know, this wasn't before the Wright brothers, you know. There weren't even dirigibles in those days. So they had no idea.
Not in Kansas, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But
probably not. I don't want to make a statement like that. We'll never know. Some listener will call and say, hey.
Well, we don't think there were, at least not in popular knowledge. But what's going on with this is that for a long time people thought that this was a rural myth. And we found that... doing a little research, we found that there was two affidavits signed by over 20 people in town verifying this man's story, including the town judge, the sheriff, the doctor, several lawyers, the newspaper editor, and all these people verified and backed up this guy, saying he would not make up a story like this. And how could you make up a story like this? This is 60 years before the first cattle mutilation ever happened, and before they even had aircraft. How could you make up something like that?
Well, I don't know. I give up.
Yeah. So anyway, we had that. That's in our book. We mentioned that last July when we were in Roswell at the Ancient Days.
Right.
Yeah. And the producer was there from the show, and he happened to catch our little talk, And he called me up and said, let's get together and do a show on that. So we got Linda Howe involved, we got Jim Mars involved, and John Greenwald Jr., and myself, and got this show together. So it'll be on the History Channel. It should be on History Live sometime, probably late November, early December.
Well, as soon as we get a date on it, we'll put it on the website so people will know about it. And they'll probably have something on their website about it as well, and we'll link to that. You can't tell me anything about this cattle mutilation that happened 2 weeks ago around here, huh?
Well, there's not really a whole bunch to really say about it because the cow had already been removed before we found out about it. We know that it was had all the classic signs and symptoms. It was missing an eye. It was missing an ear. It had a clamp marks around the feet like it had been picked up and dragged. There was no blood whatsoever anywhere around it. And the farmer's pretty upset. He's out a lot of money. And he'd like to find the answer why this is happening.
You know, it's interesting. You talked about a rope grabbing that cow back in 1897. Now they just lift them up with a tractor beam. So maybe the alien technology is getting better, too.
It could be. You know, we think that it could possibly be helicopters, except nobody's ever seen any helicopters. They've heard loud noises. Linda Howe went up for this show that we just were talking about. She went up to Farnham, Nebraska to film an actual case in progress and to show people how we investigate these kinds of cases. And they went up there. It was a real recent case. They were there within 6 days of the happening. The carcass was still there. And while they're investigating it, they had another cattle mutilation on the very next farm over. So they were able to take the entire production crew to the other farm and film this cattle mutilation that had happened within hours. It's the most recent, the freshest case I think ever documented.
And that's going to be in the show too?
Yes, that'll be a very big part of the show because it was so unusual for this to actually happen when we have a film crew there.
I remember one time we were going to do a show and you'd been up in Colorado taping some cattle mutilation footage with, I think, Fox or somebody, and you fell asleep on me.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was up in Denver for the In Search Of show that we did, and I think they worked me to death. We put in about a 16-hour day filming that day, and we ended up going to Alamosa, Colorado, and coming back and filming in studio.
The only reason I mention that is not to embarrass you, Jim. It's to let the listeners know that these things are time-consuming.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, to investigate any of these cases correctly, you have to take the time and the energy to do it all. And you just don't go out and fill out a simple form. You have to visit with the people. You have to get to know them. You have to understand how they think. And then go out and actually do a physical case, just like a police officer would do an investigation, like you see on CSI shows or any of these crime dramas that you see. You have to go out and physically investigate these cases because there's evidence. And if we can find one piece of physical evidence that links this to our alien friends, we have some proof that's probably going to make a big difference.
Okay, Jim, what do you think's going on with cattle mutilations? I've never really asked you point blank, but I'm going to right now. What's going on?
Oh, boy, put me on the spot. I don't think the government's involved in it. At one point, I did, back in the 70s.
Yeah, you and I had talked about that at one time, and we talked about the alien hunter, Daryl Sims, who's done some of this, and he believes that sometimes when you hear the helicopter noises, the black helicopters, that's us following them, and it may not be connected other than that.
That's what I think, too, and I've talked with Daryl about that on quite a few occasions. We're going to be speaking down in Round Top, Texas in March together at the R2 UFO conference.
Yeah, he sent me a little bit of information about that. What's going on down there? Where is Round Top, Texas?
That's a good question. I'm not sure where it is either.
Well, it's I don't a small know if I'll make town. It down there or not, but I'll call you and find out, hey, where is this place?
Well, it's between San Antonio and Austin, Texas. And it's a very, very small town, but they have a beautiful facility there for conferences. And it's on a really old Texas town. And some of the best people in the field are going to be there. Stanton Freeman, Daryl Sims, Paul Harris from Italy is going to be there. Dennis Balthizer will be there from New Mexico. Some guy named Jim Hickman will be there. And
I figured you'd probably be there, or it wouldn't have been a two-minute plug. It'd only been a 30-second one. Right. No, Jim's one of my favorite people, so I like to kid him around a little bit. But, let's talk a little bit about the Alien Menace. Talked about Jim Mars. He wrote that Alien Agenda book years ago. What do you think is going on? Seriously, I mean, do you have an overall idea, or is it several different things, or do we just not know?
It's mostly we don't know. Most of it is theory. We really are theorizing that all this is happening. We don't have proof. But we're beginning to find that we are developing some proof. We're finding out that cattle aren't the only beings that are being mutilated. We found horses that are being mutilated. We're finding goats. We're finding small animals. And most interestingly, maybe most disturbingly, humans.
We talked a little bit about human mutilations before. I know there have been some down in South America, maybe some here, I don't know.
Well, we have some new evidence on the case down in Garapanga, Brazil, that we just presented in Roswell for the very first time when we were there. And we've gotten the autopsy report from the doctors involved. And this is previously top secret information, and we just got it out, and they had it translated. This is a 3-page document in Portuguese, and imagine how hard it is to translate Portuguese into English up here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I get the UFO report from Brazil, and it's in Portuguese, I understand. I do have a friend from Muskogee that has been living in Brazil for some time, and he speaks pretty good Portuguese. One day I was on the phone with him, and all of a sudden he started rattling off to some other people, and I was pretty impressed. I don't think that's an easy language. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it is from what I've seen of it, especially when you get into the medical terminology. What we found most interesting in that autopsy report is that the gentleman that had the mutilations done to him was alive while this was happening. His internal organs were removed through a less than a 3-inch hole in his abdomen while he was alive.
We talked about they must have just sucked the stuff out. I can't imagine being alive and that happening to you. That's just incredible.
Yeah, and it's not the only case we've found this happening, too. We've done some more research on the case in White Sands, New Mexico in 1956.
Bring our listeners up to speed on that one.
Yeah, that's the case of Jonathan Lewitt, the sergeant in the Air Force. He was out at White Sands Missile Base with a group that was out there evaluating some missile firings, and went over a hill, and the other people heard him scream. And when they got over the hill, they thought maybe he'd gotten snake bit or something. When they got over the hill, they saw the silver saucer taking him up into the craft. And he disappeared for 3 days. And they found him out on the range in the classic sense of cattle mutilations. He had been completely mutilated. His internal organs had been removed. He had the classic coring symptoms and eyes and ear removed. And we found the autopsy report on that. Once again, the gentleman was alive when this was being done to him.
You know, there must be a reason why they would do that while they're alive. There must be something they're capturing that's in the blood and in those particular organs, which had, you know, and I have no idea. And maybe you've been discovering and investigating and kicking these stories around for a while. Maybe you have a better idea than me. I'm not sure.
I don't know for sure, but I don't sleep very well at night after hearing about this. I'll tell you, maybe they're trying to get the fear, induce the fear into the people and get whatever that emotion produces in the body, adrenaline or whatever. Maybe they're trying to get that. I don't know. I don't really have any facts that can back it up, though.
Well, I have a theory.
Okay.
I think it all is intertwined. You know, humankind gets everything screwed up. Okay. As they continue to log and tell the stories and keep changing it around. And forever we've had stories of vampires, and we've had all those sort of things. And now the UFO phenomenon is around, and the same thing is happening. And it appears you wrote a book about UFOs over the centuries. Remember that book?
Yeah.
You might as well plug it if it's still available.
Yeah, it sure is. Matter of fact, I've got plenty of copies. We're taking some down to Dallas with us this weekend. I'll be speaking down at the Texas MUFON meeting this weekend in Irving, Texas.
I understand they have pretty big crowds.
Yeah, a huge crowd and a great enthusiastic audience there. And we're really looking forward to meeting with everybody there. My first book was called 5,000 Years of UFOs, Are We Really Alone? And it looks back at the history of this. I guess I was being optimistic when I wrote the title. I should have called it 87,000 Years of UFOs because 5,000 years doesn't quite cut it.
Well, you know, I've always admired the way you can get into the plug for the book. I got you off over there to the right, and you got right back and got the name of it. There are those books available, folks. And how about your website? Can they order those books through your website?
Yeah, they sure can. We've got it all set up now with PayPal, where they can actually go on there and just click on a button. And if they have a PayPal account, they can buy it right there. And I'll even send them an autographed copy, and we will autograph it for them and send it right out to them. We have that available. Best way to do that, I guess, would go directly to our website. That address is www.skywatchinternational.org. There's a dash in between Skywatch and International.
We and as I say, we have a link at jerrypippin.com. I got to plug my website too. On the UFO section, and the picture by Jim Hickman. And we're going to get another picture of us doing our interview tonight. Our producer, Roberta Scott, of course, is on the ball. I'm going to be taking all kinds of pictures. As you can tell, she's working hard right now.
Yes, she's probably the hardest working producer in all of radio.
Having something to eat.
Well, that's one of the highlights of being here in western Oklahoma is the great food we have here.
And, we've eaten here before. As I said, we met with Fred Morton Scott here and had a nice meal here a while back and missed the UFO, but the company was nice. So I don't hold it against him, but I would like to have seen it.
Well, I think we're going to put in a call for you tonight, Jerry, and see if we can get somebody to drop by for you. So look up in the sky on your way out to you're going to Flagstaff, is that right?
Yeah, Flagstaff. We're going to drive straight through. We're just like country music acts. We never rest. One night here and the next night someplace else. And we'll be there tomorrow afternoon talking with Dr. Stephen Ulish. And that'll be an interesting show. And then Friday morning, we are going to be doing some things on the Ted Binion retrial and in Las Vegas. And then Friday night, we'll be doing UFOs right on through Sunday. So we've got a few things going.
Well, you have to definitely say hi to Stephen for me. He's been on my show several times when I had a radio show. And
he's got a new book out, too. So
yeah, we share the same publisher, as a matter of fact. So I know about his new book, and I'm really proud for him. He is a great guy. You really enjoy visiting with him.
Well, yeah, he came by the studios of Muskogee when they used to be on KBIX, same time you were. You never bothered to come over, but you would phone in. And he came by, and he and his wife, I'm trying to remember her name right now. But yeah, Paula. Yeah, Paula. So Roberta is doing her job. She's keeping me informed.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, Paula Ulish is a nice lady, too. And they have kinfolks. Actually, I think he has a son in Broken Arrow, so that's the reason he was over there. And for all our listeners around the world, we're talking about places in Oklahoma near Tulsa, and Elk City is not near Tulsa. It's out here in the middle of the West. Lots of oil derricks going, I notice. The oil business must be good at $2.
Yeah, we're actually going through another boom out here. If you're here back in the 70s, 78, 79, sure. We had a huge boom here.
In fact, there's a couple of people that I work with occasionally that were back working in Oklahoma City during the late 70s, during the oil boom. One lady was going to OU. She's now a psychiatrist, but at the time she was a cocktail waitress. She said they used to tip 50, 100 bucks like it was nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That may not happen anytime soon around here right now, but things are starting to pick up.
You've got to make up for about 15 years.
That's right. We've had some pretty dry years here, and we're really glad that we're able to produce things here in Elk City again. And things are starting to boom. Even where I work, we're starting to get to new things. So we're in the process of building a whole new facility at the hospital that I work at.
So what? In fact, I think you have somebody here from the hospital, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. We have one of our doctors, Dr. Morris Billis, is here with us. He's Skywatch's medical advisor, and he's here watching the show tonight and going to participate.
Well, we're going to get into it. What do you think I ought to ask him?
I don't know. He may come up with some pretty unusual answers. I think Morris is quite a character. You'll enjoy talking with him a little bit.
Okay, we'll talk to you in about 5 minutes, and I want to talk to you about another thing here we talked about just before the election, and that was the disclosure project and whether or not there would ever be disclosure from the government. And now that they have the same people in who the military is obviously more friendly to, is that going to help disclosure or hurt it or what?
Well, it's going to probably keep it about the same place where it was. I really think unless we can get the citizens behind us, we're going to be another 10 years. If we can get people to get behind us like they did on the election, here's a fact that I think I didn't mention in the show. Do you know that 80% of the people in the United States believe in that the government is hiding something on UFOs? That's more than either one of the presidential candidates got as far as the election results. So we get those 80% of the people to get behind us and to write letters into their congressmen and to their senators and tell them that let's get this thing done, let's get the truth out. I think it'll make a difference.
Well, we're going to talk to Stephen Bassett as usual, too. And, of course, he has been a leader in that for some time, had the original UFO pack in Washington, and he has his big conference going again in April. Are you going over there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'm on the A-list for it, as a matter of fact. Steve is my lobbyist and has been for over 10 years now for Skywatch, and we're really proud of the work he does. And we just talked to him just recently about the whole deal that's going on. We had a debate up in Canada, me, him, and four of the minor presidential candidates. And we talked quite a bit about disclosure. And we're still trying to figure out exactly how we can get this to work. But we're going to get 10 or 12 of the best UFO people in Washington, D.C. in April. And we're going to talk about this with our representatives and see if we can't get them to get hearings.
Well, the main thing is you're going to have to get some media attention. And I think some people did go to the last convention in the media. There were several news events that broke that week, which is bad for Stephen. Mm-hmm. Well, usually, it's always good to have a flying saucer intro once or twice. Some of them sneak on the national news that way. Mm-hmm. But I actually, talking about that, I noticed Shepard Smith on Fox has had Stephen Bassett on several times and actually treated him fairly.
We actually have one of his interviews on our website. The folks can go to our audio-video section at Skywatch International and check out Steve's interview with Shepard. And I thought he did really good. That was back in May with the Mexican UFO incident. And they covered that case very fairly, fairly and balanced, I guess, is their motto.
Yeah, I knew you'd get that in. I just felt it. I feel it. I won't get into any of this. Everybody knows me.
Yeah, I understand. But we're working really hard with Steve. We're working hard to get the truth out, and we've been going around the country and going around to every radio show that we can, trying to get people to write into their senators. Don't email them. Don't write a form letter. Write a handwritten personal letter to your representative. I did that with our representative here in Oklahoma, Senator Jim Imhoff. I got a really nice letter back from him, and then that was the foundation of my book.
Senator Imhoff didn't handwrite a letter back.
No, he didn't handwrite a letter back. No, but he did send me back a really nice 2-page letter that wasn't a form letter.
I'm making fun of something, but it's a good point that you're making, actually.
Yeah, they won't pay any attention to emails or to form letters. If you write them a sincere handwritten letter, they're going to read it. And I did that, and I got a sincere reply back from him. He was very interested in the subject, and he told me that he'd love to do it, but they're just not going to put the funds into any sort of hearings. There's just not the money for it.
So Roberto, what do we have, about 20 minutes left or so on the show? Something like that. You're listening to the UFO Files with Jerry Pippin, and we have Jim Hickman. We're broadcasting from the Holiday Inn in fabulous Elk City in the shadow of a giant oil derrick, I noticed. In fact, this place back here in 78 was unbelievable here.
Yeah, it was very unbelievable. You could hardly find a place to stay if you know they were folks were.
There were no hotels, and people were camping out, sleeping in the cars, whatever.
Exactly, and people were sharing apartments, four and five people living in single apartments.
And then they built all the hotels and motels, and guess what? The oil field dried up, and everybody was all of a sudden they had better deals than they had in Las Vegas. They had $19 rooms.
That's right, and the nice part about it is though the cost of housing here went down quite a bit, and the folks of us like myself that stayed here in town,
the locals got rich because
you bought
the property right, and now you're riding back it up.
That's right. We bought us a house here about 5 years ago, and it's worth about twice what we paid for it already.
Well, maybe we can contact the Elk City Chamber of Commerce and get them to fork over a little money for your commercial. No, we're glad to do it. That's it. I tell you what, let's do, Jim. Let's take this microphone. You go over here with me, and let's talk to our guest and find out a little bit about, introduce me to him, and we will get on with the show. By the way, you're still at the hospital. You've given up driving an ambulance, right?
Oh, years ago, yes.
Okay, I remember you told me one time about that story down at Mount Scott.
Yeah, that's an ugly rumor that I was a paramedic one day.
You know, like I let out a bad secret. I'm sorry, Jim.
Right now, I work at the hospital as a biomedical technician there, and work with medical equipment, maintaining it, things like that. Do all the technical stuff.
You've been doing that for a while.
Quite a long time now. I'm senior technician there, and I kind of make sure that everything works. You know, if you imagine if you were on a surgical table and had yourself open, if something was to break in the middle of it, you'd want somebody there to fix it so they could put you back together. Well, I'm that guy.
I'll remember that. Does Morris cut on people?
He did today.
Okay. We'll go talk to him. Why don't you introduce me to him?
Jerry, this is Dr. Morris Bellis.
Hey, Doc, can I just call you Morris?
You sure can, Jerry.
And so you're helping Jim with Skywatch, huh?
Jim, I've known Jim for about 4 years, and he was gracious enough to ask me to help, and I'm doing the best I can so far. Yes,
I'm interested from a standpoint of a man of science like you, a medical person. What do you think is going on with this stuff?
Well,
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
There is something. People of all backgrounds are seeing things, and things are happening. They're being witnessed. They're being noticed by people from educated people, non-educated people.
Skywatch uses experts in all the fields, and the reason we have that is because we want people that have the medical expertise or expertise is in their field to help us. We have folks that in all walks of life that are degreed people that help us.
Have you investigated any abduction cases yet, Doc?
Actually, no. I haven't been involved that long. It's been fairly soon, but there are medical.
Have you investigated? I mean, have you seen some pictures and things? It's kind of.
I have. I mean, knowing Jim, and I've done reading, and I've been to Roswell, and I've read on the internet, so I have an interest level, and I think looking at it from the medical perspective. Some of the circumstances surrounding what's happened to people, those that are describing what happened, and also, like Jim said, abduction cases where there is tangible findings of alteration of tissue, whether it's animal or human, gives us the opportunity to look at it from a medical standpoint and see if it correlates with other medical knowledge that we have. And if there's things that are interesting, we can refer to centers around the country. This is a national and international organization, to ask experts in various medical areas, pathologists, microbiologists, anatomists, whatever is necessary, to try to find more involvement. I think the medical area opens a lot of doors to what's being found in these in some of these mutilations.
We have on our show all the time people that say they've been abducted, and we talk to them, and invariably they go to a doctor and they show them like they have a red mark or a burn mark or whatever, And the doctor usually does, just says, well, that looks like a radiation burn. How'd you get that? Mm-hmm. You know, or something like that. And not much is followed up. I think this is great that we're actually getting more doctors. I know another doctor that's interested.
Yeah, I think in the past, there may have been a lot of reasons for that in the past. Maybe physicians had been a little timid about looking into it that much. But as things open up and become more accepted, I think doctors would be willing to look at it through their own medical training and possibly, again, refer for some of the more sophisticated evaluations that can be done on wounds. And there's stories of items being implanted and underneath the skin and within. And looking at these things through with our new cameras, MRI, CT, tissue samples that can be sent to various areas. And then taking the medical findings to actual scientific people in biology and chemistry and physics, who can look at that even more. All this collaboration, I think there's a lot to be found there that we probably haven't spent enough time on.
You know, this is exciting, Jim.
It is, and that's our whole purpose in Skywatch, is to get the scientific community involved in ufology. Have them look at the facts, you know, quit laughing at the whole subject and to take it seriously and look at the facts. And that's why we have doctors like Dr. Bellis here who are willing to look at the facts. And if it turns out to be a hoax or just to be nothing, they'll tell us that and they'll tell us the truth. If it happens to be something that's worth investigating, they will be able to take it and take that evidence and take it to somebody and have the credibility that we need to prove that this is really happening.
Well, Doctor, I look forward to talking to you again soon, and maybe as you get more into this, I know you just started.
Well, I appreciate it. We're starting. We have aspirations, and I'd be glad to talk to you again. I enjoyed it very much.
Very much. It's nice to meet you. Now, Jim, you have a lady, I think she was in Roswell.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, some young lady there that I've known for a little while, some 20 some odd years, as a matter of fact, goes by the name of Debbie.
Okay, Debbie, how do you put up with Jim for 20 years?
Well, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah. we always like to bring people down a little bit on the show. I guess you've noticed that.
It's been had its trials, I can tell you.
Well, tell me a little bit about, do you help him with these UFO investigations at all?
Well, I'm his moral support more than anything else, I think.
you believe, obviously you believe that Jim's on the right track most of the time.
Yes, I do.
Notice I qualified most of the time.
Yes, I do. I do believe he is.
Have you ever had an experience yourself? Like, have you seen a UFO or something maybe a little more sinister?
Several years ago, Jim and I had been out west somewhere, and we were traveling back home, and we saw a little silver orb hovering over the interstate just about 20 miles west of our town as we were coming home that evening. And I believe that's the first time that I have had actual experience. Yeah,
I've been doing this for radio shows like this since I've been doing radio shows since you were born, before that, but UFOs probably in the late 60s on, off and on, and then full time here recently. And I've never seen a UFO. Never even got close to one, but I think that's because probably I'm just not very observant.
Well, that's it. You have to be out there and looking for these things. And with Debbie here, I think the first 8 to 10 years of our marriage, she thought I was some kind of a nut until she saw her first one. Now she knows. You know, I saw one back in 19. She knows I'm a nut.
Yeah, I know. I think he meant it the other way. He knows that you weren't a nut, but. These orbs are showing up all the time now, and it's a little bit connected, I think. You know, the CIA's got these unmanned aircraft now. I was talking to somebody in Tulsa today. They're developing a unit that travels on the ground or flies, unmanned, can go in, rescue somebody, spray the place with bullets, and leave, and oh, wow. not a man there.
Yeah.
So it would not be strange if alien technology had a little round circular globe, orange, or, you know, down in Australia, they're all either orange or red.
Yeah.
And lots of them are seen.
Yeah, they're very common. And what they are, I don't know. A probe is a really good idea, and I think that's more than likely what they are. Why they're probing people like us, I don't know. But there are a lot of them seen, and they're very small. One that we saw couldn't have been more than 3 foot across.
Yeah, size of a basketball or smaller.
Yeah, about that size.
Sometimes they're in clusters. Sometimes they follow you.
Yeah, this one was actually pacing us as we were going down the interstate and then just winked out. It was very weird.
Yeah, they put all the old cloaking device into it, huh?
I guess so. They must have noticed that I was looking at them.
it's hard to tell these fireballs, whether they're bolides or whatever they are. I've seen lots of those, of course. As you know, I drive back and forth down this road a lot from Las Vegas, since I still maintain a home in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and don't ask me why, but it's our roots, right?
That's right. We're from here. Well, you know, the fireball...
But the long story is that I see, and I do a lot of night driving, I see lots of falling stars, bolides, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one of these green things. I've seen blue and bright white, but the green fireballs come back from the 50s.
Yeah, actually the 40s. They're investigated by the U.S. Air Force because they were seen all over New Mexico near our military bases. And they set up a military project called Project Twinkle, which was run by the University of Arizona by a Dr. La Paz. And they set theolites all up and down New Mexico trying to capture images of these strange bolides or fireballs, whatever you want to call them. And they were never able to successfully take a picture of these in all the years that they had this project set up. So they finally just dropped it.
And, Debbie, I understand you've actually seen one of these green fireballs.
Yeah.
See, I got a little bit of intelligence going on. Little secret stuff whispered in my ear.
In the early 1990s, maybe 92, I was traveling home from Oklahoma City to Elk City, and about 9 o'clock or so at night, and I was almost to El Reno. In fact, I think I had just passed El Reno, headed west, and I saw a green fireball, and I just saw it come like right straight down from the sky and just burst into millions of little green pieces. It was fluorescent green and looked like it had hit the ground, you know, and then burst into starburst. But it was quite interesting.
Thanks, Debbie, for being on the show. Jim,
thank you,
anytime. It's nice to meet you finally. Jim, she's talking about something about crashing the ground. I have a guy that I'm going to visit in Phoenix that on the way back, and he lives near an old Indian burial ground with lots of quartz. Now, Larry Dickin and I have been cracking these sightings for some time, and they seem to be tied into, you know, in America, though, it's probably not really scientific because there's an Indian burial ground almost any place you go. But there seems to be something connected with quartz and Indian burial grounds. You might keep that in mind.
Yeah, and it's also around geological faults, too. Like down in Texas, down at the Marfa Lights, they have similar things, orbs and things, down there. And maybe I believe there's crystals and quartz in those mountains. And, you know, we just south of here, we have the famous Quartz Mountains in Oklahoma.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it looks like you're on Mars.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, if you're lucky, you can see a UFO down there like I did one day. I think we talked about that a little earlier.
Yeah, we did. And you turned your lights on, and it turned its lights on, and you turned your lights off, and the guy who was with you, the other EMS technician, said, let's get the heck out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, when we got back, he decided that he'd had enough of that kind of work, and he quit, and we've never seen him since. He quit that very night.
you got into something that...
something sane.
Well, we have a few minutes. This guy that I'm going to talk to next, I could talk to him for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Morton Scott, and he's a historian of quite some merit, among other things. How do you like that for a title, Fred?
It sounds pretty good, yeah.
I read your interesting article that you did on the Iraq War and all of the things behind that. I know you're doing lots of in-depth, intellectual-type things these days.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I think now is the time for us to do some things. I am proudly a liberal, and of course that's a bad word in Oklahoma and elsewhere.
So you can't say that word in Oklahoma.
Well, I'm sorry. I should have remembered. I'm on the air, but no, I'm proudly a liberal, and I'm going to sit back for the next 4 years and be concerned about our nation's problems, and if there's any way I can help solve our nation's problems, I'll be glad to do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to be watching George W. Bush and enjoying his attempts.
Okay, well, we'll come back and talk to you on one of our political shows about that one of these days, sir.
Okay, that sounds like a good deal to me. It's going to be a good topic for a while.
Well, it will be, and that's certainly true. As long as he brought politics into it again. Thanks, Fred. I always enjoy seeing you, man. And I'll talk to you as soon as the show's over. He brought politics into it, and we talked about the politics of disclosure a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Let's get back into that for a minute. You talked to Stephen Greer before, Dr. Stephen Greer. You've talked to Stephen Bassett. You've talked to others. What do they hope to have going on here? What do they expect? What do they want the government to do?
Well, it's pretty simple. We only want one thing: the truth. We're asking the government to release the documents that they have, their top secret, that prove that there is an alien presence here on Earth. We want them to prove to us that they cannot stop these objects from coming into our airspace. We know they can't because they're here every day. We get, as you know, George Fowler documents these things, and we're seeing them every day. And our Air Force has no way of stopping these things. And we want to have our government tell us they can't stop them.
As Robert Dean, one of the deans in this business, told me one time, he said, the Air Force had a shoot and kill order for about 30 days, and they figured out that's not the right thing to do.
No, you don't want to shoot at aliens. They may shoot back.
Well, remember back in 1952, the flying saucers over the Capitol, and at least one jet crashed.
Yeah, in 1952, they had multiple sightings over the White House, documented by radar and ground sightings. And this started off quite a stir there in Washington, D.C. Got the president pretty upset because they were violating his airspace, and he didn't like it one bit. So they sent up fighters, of all things, and they could never catch them. Every time they'd go up, these things would disappear. And then as soon as the fighters ran out of fuel and landed, these things would pop back up on the radar. You know, I've got in my book actual transcript of the radar screen.
You're talking about the alien menace.
Yes, in the alien menace. We have transcripts of those, of a what they call an etching of the radar screen from back then, 1952. And this is from Don Kehoe's work. He was one of the investigators that originally investigated this.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see a Project Blue Book was real or not real. Later on, I think Major Kehoe probably was real.
Oh, absolutely. I met him when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
That had to be a kick.
Oh, it was. It was.
What kind of guy was he?
He was a very straightforward guy.
Well, I mean, he was a colonel or major.
He was a major. You may not know this, but he was Colonel Lindbergh's aide from 1927 up till the day he died.
I did not realize that.
Yes, he was. And he was his personal aide, and... for some reason, we're finding out that Lindbergh was involved very deeply in Roswell. And this is something I'm going to have out in my new book. It's titled The Truth Is Out There. We've documented the fact that Lindbergh was in Roswell the day of the crash. And Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. has proved that he is there. He even has sworn to me, a sworn statement, that he can even remember the color of the suit that Lindbergh was wearing. He's wearing a nice bright blue suit that day, and is with the general. Now, we know that Lindbergh was involved with foreign technology with the U.S. government from 1939 all the way through World War II. Now, why he was in Roswell on the day of that crash, I don't know. But I have his statement. I also have a statement from a gentleman by the name of Zimmerman, who said that he saw him there on the base at the base officers' club. Now, why he was there, I don't know. But it's a coincidence.
And the new book's going to be called The Truth Is Out There?
The Truth Is Out There, and it should be released sometime next year.
You going to investigate different stories like that one or what?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of lay them out in detail.
Exactly. We've got more documented evidence like that, and that's what we're going to try and find is more of these affidavits. You know, there's over 180 people signed affidavits now from Roswell saying exactly what they saw, eyewitnesses to this. And we're going to get some of those that people haven't seen and produce that as a form of evidence of what we're trying to prove, that the truth really is out there if you just look. Like, just like on the front page of that Roswell newspaper from the day of that crash, where it says, you know, Army recovers crash disk, no details shown. Well, if you look on the front page of the paper, the real story is there on the front page that nobody ever saw.
Yeah, I believe you showed that to me originally.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be in the book. The hardware man was there, Mr. Wilmot and his wife, and they saw the object fly over the night before the crash. And we went to his house when we were there in Roswell this last year, and we were able to triangulate it out. And we've got that with other experts. Mike Hessman was one of them there at Roswell. And we've determined that that was on the exact trajectory of the crash. So we have an eyewitness to the object flying over before it crashed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, and you showed me the paper.
Yeah.
Xerox of it or whatever.
Yeah, it's public knowledge. You can go to any of the websites. The International UFO Museum's website has it up on there. Julia Slusher there, the director, she's got it up on her website. And everybody looks at the headlines, but they don't read the story. That story hasn't been told.
Okay, let's talk about the story on the Yagan Menace. Our time's almost up here. They can get that book through your website by ordering it.
That's right. They can go through the website. That's www.skywatch-international.org. Or they can go through my publisher at Publish America, and they have a website, publishamerica.com, amazingly. Or go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Pick it up.
In addition to going down to Dallas here, what, this weekend?
Yeah, we'll be in Dallas this weekend.
So that'll be after the show's aired. It won't be aired until next week. So.
That's right. And
so let's plug something a little further down the road.
Okay. In March, we'll be down at the R2 UFO Conference in Round Top, Texas. And that's r2ufo.com. After that, we'll be in Aztec, New Mexico in April.
That's always an interesting conference. And I talked to Stanton Friedman about that the other day, and he says, oh, I think something really happened there, Jerry.
I do, too. We've talked with Scott, I can't remember his last name now, the gentleman that's producing the documentary out there on this crash. And I've also talked with Stanton about this, and we've been invited to speak out there, and we're going to go out there and talk a little bit about it. We're going to talk about media versus flying saucers, of all things, about how the media has manipulated us and our thinking about UFOs from the 50s through today.
You got to watch out for us guys.
That's right. Us people in the media are kind of weird. But yeah, we'll be there in April, and then we'll be at the X conference
in April too. Right.
That's right. In Washington D.C.
You'll have to fly in there. You can't drive that fast and get there because it's the next weekend, I think.
That's right. And then we'll be back in Roswell after that. They can go to our website. We have a whole event calendar now. We have so many things with all the people we have working for us now, with George Filer, Daryl Sims, and Dennis Balfizer, and Steve Bassett, and everybody all there going around doing radio shows. We've had to put a calendar in so we could keep track of all the events that we're doing. Some nights we're doing two or three radio shows. So if you go to our website, you can see what we're doing on a weekly basis and pull up and see what each one of our experts is doing on every night.
That's a good idea, and I do appreciate you taking time to be on the show with me. And we've a kindred brethren here, I think. We kind of got started. We got two guys from Oklahoma doing UFOs. we had to get together.
That's right. I think we're the only two guys in Oklahoma doing UFOs, so we had to. And we're really glad to work with you, Jerry, and it's fun. You make the whole project here fun, and I'm going to try real hard to get our alien friends to come visit you this time.
Well, yeah, I've been waiting. I want to introduce one of these guys on the air. Actually, I want to get right down to the nitty-gritty, and what the hell are you doing?
Well, we'll see what we can do. I've been told I have the inside track with these folks, so we'll see what we can do for you.
Aha. We only got about 30 seconds, but I wonder who told him.
Well, this guy was green.
Oh, okay.
And he was real short.
Do you get vibes at night?
Only through my this helmet I have that's made out of aluminum. It has the little antennas on it.
You shouldn't mention that, because we'll have to pose for a picture with that.
We'll
have to come up with one someplace.
It's on my website.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I was given one for a birthday present by the guys at work, so it's on my website.
Okay, great. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you, and thanks for bringing your friends by.
Oh, well, anytime. Thank you for stopping by in beautiful Elk City, and you're welcome back anytime, of course.
Well, yeah, we come through Elk City quite a lot, and like you say, can't go through here without at least calling you. And I didn't say what I was going to call you.
Oh, it's so beautiful, so elegant.
This is the typical reaction to the most unique gift of love and romance, the fresh California long-stem American Beauty Rose that is dipped in 24-karat gold.
It truly is a gift that will last a lifetime.
Why wait until that special holiday or anniversary? You can show her how much you love her right now. Get a pen and paper and get ready to write down a telephone number so you can order this 24-karat gold-coated rose.
Use any major credit card or have it shipped COD. She will love you for it.
Call anytime Monday through Friday between 8 and 6 o'clock Central Time and talk to a friendly order person who will tell you all about the beautiful gold rose. This radio offer is about half what many fine shops in Beverly Hills, Las Vegas, and New York sell this rose for.
The radio price on the Jerry Pippin Show is only $47.95 plus the real cost of shipping. Air Express it overnight or by regular mail. Here is the number to call.
1-800-458-7134. Monday through Fridays, call 1-800-458-7134.
Jerry! Roberta Scott has been our producer, and this program came to you direct from the Holiday Inn Atrium. And that is in, of course, beautiful, fantastic Elk City, Oklahoma, where you can see miles and miles and miles and miles. But you can see an old Eric here or there, too. And we would like to thank everyone for listening to the UFO Files. Until next time, cheers.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the Internet, one stop fits all, JerryPippin.com. At JerryPippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Get it now. www.jerrypippin.com.